Greetings, old-time radio fans, and welcome to another hour of great entertainment as we head back in time to the golden age of radio. I'm your host, Corey Walker, and I invite you to gather around the old part of the radio for another hour-long blast to the past. It's almost Thanksgiving, and so once again, I'm featuring two great Thanksgiving-themed radio plays. Let's start with the Cavalcade of America, which ran from October 9, 1932 until March 31, 1953, first on CBS, then on NBC. The series served a dual purpose, to promote America by showcasing its rich history, and perhaps more importantly, to rebuild sponsor DuPont's reputation, which had been badly tarnished during the Great War. Today's episode is titled U.S. Pilgrims Thanksgiving. It was first heard on Monday, November 22, 1948 at 8 p.m. on NBC. The episode's star-studded cast included Mercedes McCambridge, Ralph Bell, George Tobias, and Daniel Oko. Enjoy.
The DuPont Cavalcade of America, starring George Tobias. On this Thanksgiving week, the DuPont Company brings you Us Pilgrims, starring George Tobias and featuring Ralph Bell and Mercedes McCambridge on the Cavalcade of America. First, here is Gain Whitman.
Good evening. Here's a timely hint for motorists. It may be especially difficult this winter to replace antifreeze if it leaks away. You can guard against leaks and loss of valuable antifreeze by pouring a can of DuPont Cooling System Sealer into the radiator. DuPont Cooling System Sealer may be used safely with any standard antifreeze solution. DuPont Cooling System Sealer is another of the DuPont Company's better things for better living through chemistry.
Now, Us Pilgrims, starring George Tobias in the dual role of Mr. Barachek and Boss Pilgrim on the Cavalcade of America. Tonight, we bring you a different type of cavalcade, a story of an immigrant's idea of the first Thanksgiving. Our story begins in a classroom.
Now write a row of W's, please.
But the pupils are grown up. It is night school.
Don't hold your pen so hard, Mr. Barachek.
It'll get away if I don't, Miss Teacher.
No, it won't. Just relax.
Barachek can't even hold pen right.
No talking, please, Mr. Bauer.
These are aliens learning to read and write simple English in order to become citizens of our country.
Now a row of X's. Mrs. Hansen, you put an umlaut on your O's again.
Ah, he could spare it. Every time he do it.
Now the L's, class. You're making J's, Mr. Barachek.
I'm sorry, teacher. I fix.
Barachek can't even make L's.
No talking, please, Mr. Bauer. And now the Z's. Good, class. Much better. Now, are there any questions?
Miss Hopkins, why we have in America Thanksgiving?
What's so amusing, Mr. Bauer?
Some question. What Thanksgiving got to do with how we write with pens?
I think it's a very good question, Mr. Bauer. And the more you know about the United States and its history, the better citizens you'll make. Mrs. Hansen has asked why we celebrate Thanksgiving. Who can tell her?
Teacher.
Can you, Mr. Bauer?
Sure. It's holiday.
But why?
Says on calendar.
But who first made it a holiday? Why did they have the first Thanksgiving? Mr. Bauer doesn't seem to know. Does anyone else in the class?
Excuse, please, teacher.
Yes, Mr. Barachek.
I know about first Thanksgiving.
I bet he does.
Mr. Bauer, please. Could you tell the class about Thanksgiving, Mr. Barachek?
Think so? I got little nephew, very smart. Last night, nephew recite piece in school exercise. Piece all about first Thanksgiving.
Why don't you tell us as much about it as you can, Mr. Baratek?
Sure. One question first, please. Who's pilgrims?
Well, they were a group who came to America in 1620. They came here to find religious freedom.
Oh, then pilgrims immigrants like us.
In a way, they were, Mr. Baratek. Now, suppose you tell us how you think the first Thanksgiving came about.
All right. It's like this. A long, long time ago, in old country, things very bad. Bad king. One day, boss pilgrim is walking down street with other pilgrim. They talking. Old country is no good, say boss pilgrim. Not so loud, boss, say other pilgrim. Soldiers hear you.
Teacher, teacher.
Yes, Mr. Barr.
Does Baratek mean pilgrims talk like that?
Sure thing. They speak English just like you and me.
Let's not have any interruptions, please. Go on with your story, Mr. Baratek.
Well, long time ago, in old country, things very tough. The king is bad. And one day, boss pilgrim is walking down street with pilgrim named Benny. And boss pilgrim say, Benny, old country's no good for us pilgrims.
Shh, boss. Soldiers hear you. Tell king.
Now, somebody ought to tell king. Tell king let us pilgrims pray like we want. Tell king we want religious freedom. Go church like we please.
Nobody got religious freedom in 1620. That's this year.
They got in America.
Huh? What's America?
His new country Columbus discovered. And can pray any way darn please there. And that's the way it should be in old country. King or no king.
Not so loud, boss. Shh, you get us pinched.
He's better be pinched than not pray like we want to. I show, king.
What are you doing, boss?
Gonna say my prayers.
Not here in street, boss. Get up. People see you. Here come soldiers, boss.
Ah, what I care for soldiers. I show that king how to pray. God, what us pilgrims gonna do? Things bad here.
Come on, boss, soldiers. They love to kick us pilgrims around.
Don't interrupt me.
I go now.
Excuse, please, God. Benny butt in. But what us pilgrims gonna do? Things very bad here in old country. King is mean, bad man. No religious freedom. He push us pilgrims all around. He don't let us pray like we want to.
Hey, pilgrim.
I don't have to say this.
What's the matter, pilgrim? You deaf?
It's a... Excuse, please, God. Another interruption. What do you want, officer?
So, we caught you praying, huh?
Yes, sir.
Why you pray in dirty street? When king has nice, clean church to pray in. Huh, pilgrim?
Feel like pray here.
Does that mean you no like king's church to pray in? Huh, pilgrim?
Maybe I like king's church better if I ever get what I pray for there.
What's that, pilgrim?
Religious freedom for us pilgrims.
I give you freedom, pilgrim. How you like that? Next time you go to jail. And next time I catch you praying, it better be in King's Church. And another thing. Next time, pray out loud.
You think God cannot hear what I ask for?
Maybe God hear all right, but we wanna too. We wanna be sure King like what you pray for. All right. What?
Soldiers. Pooh. I hate soldiers. Tell King I pray just like I want. It's me, God, again. Please help us, please, pilgrims. We very unhappy in all country. But what are we gonna do? What are pilgrims gonna do, God? I hear steamboat whistle. Maybe we should take boat to America. Is that what you want us to do, God? Okay, God. Us pilgrims go to America. Thank you. Meeting will come to order, please. Fellow pilgrims, I call you here tonight to tell you big news. God wants us to go to America.
America? You mean it, boss? America?
Today I pray, and God tell me personal, I should take boat right away and go to USA. That's other name for America.
Boss, boss.
Oh, it's you. What do you want? What do you want, Joe?
You mean us pilgrims should go to this America place to live?
That's right, Joe.
And give up my fruit stand?
What's the matter? You open fruit stand in America. People got to eat there, same like here.
Another thing, boss. I don't think my wife like idea. She gets seasick.
What you care how your missus feel, Joe? Important thing, do you get seasick?
No, but I don't want wife to need it. She tough enough to get along with when feel good.
Never mind who gets seasick. We talking about going to America.
I don't think it's a good idea, boss. We don't know nothing about place.
If it's good enough for God, it's good enough for us.
You think we find jobs and make living there, boss?
Benny, what kind of pilgrim you? God wouldn't tell us to go no place where there's no work.
Did he say just what USA was like?
No, but I bet it's big, beautiful, wonderful country.
Hey, boss, if it's so big, how come they just find it?
All I care is new country and can pray any way we like there.
You mean, boss, you mean they got religious freedom?
It's in Constitution.
Then I vote we go there.
Good, good. Then we go tomorrow night. In harbor is boat called Mayflower. Third class steerage tickets, very reasonable.
But, boss, what about my fruit stand?
Sell it, give it away, take it with you. Only stop worrying about it.
Well, all right. I go a fresco, but I still say it's bum idea.
It's not my idea, Joe. It's God's. And I sure he have wonderful country there for us pilgrims. I bet there is big cities with tall buildings and farms where things grow like anything. And mines for coals and railroad trains and trees to chop. And factories for working, and schools for kids, and pretty scenery to look at. Don't God's country sound nice?
Well, if only it's where you think it's going to be, boss.
God's so good to us pilgrims, Joe. I bet your wife not even seasick on way to USA. Well, Mayflower boat still sailing on ocean, and trip is tough for everybody. Not just Joe's wife. Then when storm stop, come bad fog, and boat get lost, and pilgrims all scared, and boss pilgrim start praying. Please, God, don't let Mayflower hit iceberg or ferry boat and fog. Please bring us safe to America. And if we could get there pretty soon now, we would all appreciate very much. Thank you, God.
Hey, boss.
Hello, Joe. Hello, everybody.
Boss, we want to know when we get to America.
Anytime now.
Anytime now. Every day you say that.
That's right, boss.
Well, can't go very fast in fog.
First storm, now fog. I thought you have it fixed that everything is going to be so hunky-dory on this trip. You can't even fix it so my wife can keep her supper down.
We just got to be patient.
Look, this guy Columbus, 1,492 years it took to discover America. How do you know we find it at all?
We find it.
We better find it soon.
My kids got bad colds. Need doctor.
We take them to clinic as soon as we land, Benny.
But, boss, when we land?
That's what I want to know.
All I can say is, pilgrims, is...
Look. Huh? Look how quick fog is lifting.
Huh? Look. Land. It's America.
How do you know it's America, boss?
I can see Statue of Liberty. Look.
The Statue of Liberty. What do you know, the Statue of Liberty?
Give spyglass, somebody. Give spyglass.
Here.
There's writing on statue.
I read to you. Listen. It say, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. The wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed, to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. Oh, how you like that. Well, pilgrims, didn't I tell you God not let us pilgrims down?
Congratulations, boss. Congratulations.
Boss. Boss.
Now what?
Can have spyglass 1 minute.
Take, Joe. You see statue good?
See statue okay. But that all I do see.
What do you mean, Joe?
You promise us big cities in U.S. and farms and trains and factories and school and churches and beautiful scenery.
So?
So this America, this God's country, is nothing but a lot of woods.
Give spyglass.
Look, just woods, but there's not even people there, only wild animals. And I sold my fruit stand.
Joe, we're going to have religious freedom.
But what about all those things you promised?
I keep my promise. It's pretty scenery, ain't it?
You are listening to Us Pilgrims, an unusual story of an immigrant's idea of the first Thanksgiving, starring George Tobias on the Cavalcade of America, sponsored by the DuPont Company, makers of better things for better living through chemistry. Mr. Barachek, an immigrant, is going to night school to learn to become an American citizen. A discussion arose about the origin of Thanksgiving, and Mr. Barachek is telling the class his story of the pilgrims and the first Thanksgiving, all in his own words.
So, after Mayflower get to USA, pilgrims get off at Ellis Island.
Teacher, Barachek is crazy. Pilgrims land on place called Plymouth Rock.
Okay, in 1620, Ellis Island was named Plymouth Rock.
Okay, but what about Statue of Liberty?
What do you mean?
There was no Statue of Liberty here in 1620, or not?
Not yourself. Liberty always here, huh, teacher?
Well, when you get through with your story, Mr. Barachek, I'll tell you just when they put the statue up. But you've got the right idea.
Bauer don't know so much.
Go on with your story, please.
So, pilgrims get to America. It's a very wild place. All woods. It's winter time. It's very cold and snow is very deep.
Boss! Hey, boss! Boss, listen! Hey, boss!
What do you want, Benny?
A whole bunch of tough-looking guys coming. Some kind of savages got red skins and feathers in hair.
I bet it's cannibals.
I ain't scared of no guys who wears feathers and hair. Come on. Who are you guys?
Friendly Indians.
Us pilgrims. I boss pilgrim.
I chief of friendly Indians.
You fellas live around here?
Long time. You fellas new here, ain't you?
Just got off Mayflower.
Proud to meet people who came over on Mayflower.
Say, is good country here?
The best. You like it fine. Only may take you a few days to get used to the water.
Teacher! Teacher!
Now what is it, Mr. Bauer?
Barachek don't know what he talk about.
How can? Don't even get a chance to talk.
Barachek got Indians running around loose in woods.
Where are I supposed to have Indians?
An Indian reservation. Everybody knows that.
You're wrong there, Mr. Bauer. There were no Indian reservations in those days.
Well, if I'm wrong, it ain't Barachek's fault. It's nothing but a foreigner, that Barachek.
You bet. All Americans start out like that.
That's right, Mr. Barachek. Now, will you go on, please?
Well, things get tougher and tougher for pilgrims.
Winter get worse. Pretty soon, they almost out of food.
Help! Please! Help!
Who's calling?
It's falling snow over here.
Oh, it's Chief of Friendly Indians. Come on.
Who's there?
It's me, Chief. Boss Pilgrim. It's me and Joe.
Give me food. Please, food.
What's the matter? What's the matter, Chief?
I get lost in woods. Not eat for days. Food. Food.
Oh, Joe and me got pockets full sandwich, Chief. Here, take.
No, don't, boss. We need them sandwich, too.
Oh, this is starving man, Joe.
What I care is nothing but a foreigner.
Ah, he's starving man. He's starving man, and I give him sandwich whether you like or no. See? Here, Chief. Take.
It's good. A good sandwich. Chief of Friendly Indian, never forget it.
Me, boy.
Hello, Benny.
Good evening, boss.
Hello, Mrs. How sick, kids?
Not so good, boss.
You give aspirin and castor oil like I tell?
Us pilgrims all out of aspirin and castor oil. No place to get more, boss.
Ah, it's bad.
If only could get fresh milk for kids. I think they get well.
No complaint, Mama. Everybody else just bad off is like us.
I go see kids now.
You think we get along till spring and Mayflower come back, boss?
I don't know, Benny. We almost out of food now. I make big mistake to bring us here. I guess I no understand God right.
Maybe God no want things to be easy for us here, boss.
What do you mean?
Suppose us pilgrims come to U.S. and his big buildings every place and jobs and delicatessens on every corner. And right away, what happens? We get so busy climbing up and down big buildings and filling our silk shirts, we forget what we came here for, to be free.
That's right, Benny.
I don't think God ever wanted easy to be free. And anybody who wanted got to work like anything for it.
If only God... tell us what to do.
Benny! Benny!
Huh?
It's our first! You've got to do something about getting the milk!
Excuse me, boss. I got to talk to Mrs. She get excited. Women, you know.
God, this boss pilgrim, I be wrong. I guess I expect things gonna be too easy. Only they can be too tough, too. Us pilgrims can't take much more. Honest. Honest, God. What we gonna do? Excuse, please, God.
Who there?
It's me, Chief of Friendly Indian.
Hello, Chief. Shake hands.
I can shake hands when both hands full of sandwich.
Sandwich?
You save life of Chief of Friendly Indians with sandwich. Chief of Friendly Indians never forget. For 4 days now, whole tribe has been making sandwich. Make 16,000 sandwich and have brought them all here for pilgrims.
This is fine thing you do, Chief. Us pilgrims almost starving.
Besides 16,000 sandwich, bring 16,000 dill pickle. Chief of Friendly Indians never forget.
You know, I pray to God for help just when you knock on the door.
Tell your God not to worry about you. Spring comes soon and Chief of Friendly Indians show Pilgrim how to plant corn. Maybe then you invite Chief of Friendly Indians to dinner, huh? This is most beautiful table full of food I ever see, Mr. Boss Pilgrim.
No wonder. His first Thanksgiving dinner.
Let me at that turkey.
Oh, just a minute, Joe. What's the matter with you? Say prayers before we eat. This is Thanksgiving. God, us pilgrims want to thank you for everything. For this turkey and cranberries and all good things you let us grow. Thank you for bringing us from all country to USA. Thank you for we can pray here and work and build something fine and be free men. And may there always be room here for other pilgrims like us. Amen. Thank you.
Well, Mr. Baracek, that's very interesting. There are one or two historical inaccuracies I'll explain later. But you certainly do get the idea.
Thank you, teacher.
Wait a minute, Baracek. What about the turkey?
What do you mean about the turkey?
You say pilgrims lived in the woods. I heard you.
That's right.
Then where did the turkey come from, Mr. Smarty Baracek?
Boss Pilgrim win it in raffle.
Our star, George Tobias, will return in just a moment. But first, here is Gain Whitman speaking for DuPont.
Other eyes than yours. The eyes of your grandfather and grandmother, your father and mother, when they were young and very much in love, have looked upon the soft fading colors of autumn leaves and found them beautiful and a little sad, discovering in them the truth that every summer must come to an end. At this time of year, with Thanksgiving Day drawing close, we are particularly conscious of those that have gone before us. Conscious of our place in the endless cavalcade, which reaches from far away in the past to far away in the future. It is from the long, reassuring past that we draw strength and courage to go on. We look to the future with hope and confidence. For if we know how to give good gifts to our children, then how much more shall our Father in heaven give good things to them that ask him? No one can really doubt who knows that seventh chapter of Matthew. Shall we, as we think on the past, on the future, give thanks? Yes. Has there been no other time in the world when clouds have darkened the horizon? There have been many such times, and we've always come through. Let us give thanks. Let us give thanks as our forefathers did. Americans have much. Much more for which to be thankful than they ever had. Let us count our blessings, our better things for better living, not merely from the world of science, but from the world of the spirit, in which mankind is also learning lessons, though they be slow and arduous. Let us be thankful for our freedom, symbolized by the precious documents aboard the freedom train. Let us be thankful for health, for friendship, for human kindness, for sincerity, for courage, wherever we find them. In this spirit of reverence, friends, I bring you cordial wishes for a joyous Thanksgiving from the men and women of the DuPont Company, makers of better things for better living through chemistry.
Now our star, George Tobias.
What Gain Whitman said is right. Over here, we have a lot to be thankful for. But in Europe, with winter, the people will be hungry. We have been asked to save food for them. Friends, let's not make a mockery of Thanksgiving. In giving thanks to him who said, I was hungered and ye gave me meat. Let's express our thanks in a practical way. Let's share our food with those who are hungry. Good night.
Thank you. Next week, the Cavalcade of America presents Van Heflin in Towards the Horizon, an exciting and dramatic adventure of the first navigation of the perilous Colorado River in the Grand Canyon. Be sure to join us again next Monday night at this same time for Van Heflin in Towards the Horizon on the DuPont Cavalcade of America. Tonight's DuPont Cavalcade, Us Pilgrims, was written by Frank Gabrielson. Featured in our cast were Ralph Bell as Bauer and Mercedes McCambridge as Miss Haskell. Danny Ockel played the chief of the Friendly Indians. Music was composed by Arden Cornwell and conducted by Donald Bryan. George Tobias can soon be seen in the Eagle Lion film, Adventures of Casanova. This is Bill Hamilton inviting you to listen next week to Van Heflin in Towards the Horizon on the Cavalcade of America, brought to you by the DuPont Company of Wilmington, Delaware.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
You just heard U.S. Pilgrims Thanksgiving from the series Cavalcade of America. That episode was first heard Monday, November 22, 1948, on NBC. Next up is an episode from Lum and Abner, which ran from April 26, 1931 until May 7, 1954, spending a bit of time on all of the major networks. Today's episode is titled Rowena Has Thanksgiving with Lum and was first heard at 10 p.m. on Sunday, November 21, 1948 on CBS.
As we look in on the little community of Pine Ridge today, we find the old fellows in their jot-em-down store. Lum is talking on the telephone. Listen.
Well, it sure is a pleasant surprise, Miss Rowena. Why, sure, Miss Rowena.
Why, sure, Miss Rowena.
Oh, but yes, Miss Rowena.
Oh, but beans, Miss Rowena.
Oh, that'll be just wonderful, Miss Rowena.
Oh, Lord, me.
Yes, Mom. Goodbye. My granny's Abner, guess who that was.
Grover Cleveland.
Now, you recollect that cousin of Ezra C. Frunk's that was here one time before?
Sure, I know who you mean. Are you done talking to her now?
Yeah, sure, why?
Well, take the receiver out of your pocket and hang it up there.
How'd that get in there?
Lum, why don't you stay away from her? The other time she's here, you got to bragging on yourself and just got yourself in trouble, and you'll do the same thing again.
I will not. She just got in town, and she's dropping over here to invite me to take Thanksgiving dinner with her.
Why? Did she mention it?
No.
Did she talk about eating?
No.
Did she bring up the word Thanksgiving?
Well, no.
Lum, if you do go over, I'd suggest you pack yourself a little lunch.
Oh, she'll invite me, don't you worry. I'll work the conversation around to where she will.
Yeah, but Thanksgiving will be over by then.
Wait a minute. There she comes across the street now.
Oh, look at that walk.
Abner, you go back in the feed room or any place. You sort of warp my personality.
It was pretty well bent when I first met you.
Now, hurry up, Abner, and don't sit back there and listen.
Oh, I wouldn't think of it.
Now, listen here, you little snoop.
I beg your pardon.
Oh, excuse me, Miss Rowena.
Oh, Mr. Edwards. Oh, but it's delightful to see you again. But delightful.
I'm delightful, too. But too.
It's so nice being in your quaint little village once more.
Oh, it's just quaint as all get out. Special round Thanksgiving time with folks inviting one another to dinner.
Well, now that you mention it, Mr. Edwards, I was thinking of inviting you over to the Sea Chances for Thanksgiving dinner, but I don't know where I could get any domestic.
Oh, well, turkey's plenty good enough for me.
Oh, I'm referring to servants.
Well, turkey's good enough for them, too.
But I am speaking of the servant problem, Mr. Edwards. You know how one suffers from that nowadays.
Oh, does one? I suffer something stupendous from it.
Thought that I'd had any sense, I would have brought my chef along with me. The French make by far the best ones, don't you think?
Oh, by far. I had him make one up for me the other day.
Oh, do you have one? What's his name?
Who?
Your French cook.
Oh, him. Why, French. I call him Mademoiselle Alphonse.
Isn't that a rather odd name for him?
Well, he's a foreigner, you know.
Oh, yes.
What time is this Thanksgiving dinner going
to
be?
Well, I'm not sure. I'm not used to entertaining in so small a place as the East Country. My home in London, Ohio. It wasn't elaborate, but it was adequate. 20 rooms and a solarium. What size place do you have, Mr. Edwards?
Oh, it ain't much. Just a little 30-room mansion. But it's home to me.
Do you have a solarium?
No, I never cared much for swimming. What time did you say for dinner?
Oh, I don't know. I'm so handicapped here. Do you realize that I don't even have an upstairs maid?
That ain't nothing. He ain't even got an upstairs.
Why, who said that?
Nobody. That was just the wind. Mm. Now, about this Thanksgiving dinner, I'd love to have you over to my place, but I ain't got half enough servants to run the mansion right now, and I wouldn't feel right asking you to come over there and rough it.
Oh, but I'd love that, Mr. Edwards. And what time will it be?
Well, Miss Rowena, you see...
Oh, do make it for 7. And thank you so much, you dear sweet boy. But dear sweet...
Well, Miss Rowena, but Miss Rowena... Oh, man. Whatever, you shut up.
I never said a word, you dear sweet boy.
Now, shut that out.
How's everything around the mansion?
I told you not to listen, you little leaves droop.
I don't. You got the only clapboard mansion I ever heard of.
All right, Abner.
Put all them servants you're asleep on that one horsehair sofa.
All right, so I exaggerated a little.
Oh, I don't know. Many the time I saw that French cook of yours standing over a hot solarium. Biling up a mess of coon and collards.
Abner, don't you realize the jam I'm in? Here I've got to put on a Thanksgiving dinner in a mansion, which I ain't got, with some servants, which I ain't got. This calls for brains.
Which you ain't got.
Thanksgiving ain't but a few days off.
Yeah, I doubt if you could build a mansion by then. Not even with Alphonse helping you.
Oh, I might as well forget the whole thing. Or to keep my big mouth shut.
Amen, brother.
Even if I did have a nice place, I don't know where I'd get any servants. Wait a minute. Abner?
Oh, no, you don't.
Now, listen, Abner.
No, now, listen long.
Abner.
No.
I ain't asked anything yet.
Long, in the first place, I can't cook. In the second place, I can't talk French. In the third place, I wouldn't do it in the first place.
All right, then you can be my English butler.
No. I'm going to be eating at home that day with my own little family. And they couldn't get along without me. Bless their hearts. Bless their hearts.
Abner, you'll be all done at your place by the time I'll need you.
No.
That takes care of my butler. Now, who can I get for... Wait a minute. There comes Ben Withers. I wonder if he can cook.
Hi,
Granny. Come on in here, Ben, old boy. Just the feller I want to see. Can you talk French, Ben?
Well, I'm a few want to learn to speak French. The man you want is Cicero Gundy.
Who's he?
Yes.
Look, Ben, all I'm interested in is getting a French cook.
I see. And you want to know how to converse with him in his native tongue.
No, Ben, I don't...
Fine. Cicero Gundel, Mount Ida resident, made an exhaustive study of the French language immediately after the First World War. He wanted to learn the meaning of the words of Mademoiselle from Armature.
Yeah, well, Ben, I don't...
At the end of 5 years of concentrated study, he discovered that the song was written in English.
Well, why couldn't he have told that in the first place?
Cicero Gunzel is an Armenian. Now, the only trouble as I see it, Lum, before Cicero can teach you French, you'll have to learn Armenian.
Ben, I told you I don't want to learn no language. I'm just trying to arrange for a Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh, well, the place you want to go then is Talman Minnie's restaurant.
But, Ben, I
don't... The finest short order house in Mount Ike. Talman Minnie's. It's run by a man named Tom and his wife. Her name is Irene.
Irene? Well, who's Minnie?
Sorry. On Thanksgiving Day, you can get a chicken fried steak there cut in the shape of a turkey wing. Perhaps you've eaten there, Lum.
No, I ain't.
Maybe you hit it in 1937. That was the year it was closed up by the Board of Health.
Ben, all I'm trying to do is put on this dinner for Ezra Seastrunk's cousin, Miss Rowene. But I need a batch of servants to do it. Now, Abner here has been assigned to the butler job.
I never said I'd sign nothing.
And I thought maybe you could be my French chef, Ben.
Oh, thank you very highly, Lum. But I've been invited over to the Walt Bates' for dinner that day. That is, if they don't go out of town.
Wait a minute. Is there a chance the Bates' is going to be gone on Thanksgiving?
I told you, Lum, that would be the place for you to sneak into. It ain't exactly a 30-room mansion, but it's the biggest house in town.
Oh, I wouldn't think of such a thing. Hardly. Yeah, call them up and see if they're sure enough going to leave.
Yeah, all right, sure.
But don't let on why you want to know for her. Hello? Walt Bates speaking.
Say, Walt, this is Abner Peabody.
Oh, just a minute, Abner. I'm talking business with the feller here. Hold the phone a second.
Yeah, all right.
Well, that's the deal then, eh, Mr. Vyborg?
Yep. And if you folks are leaving tonight, I'll bring my crew in here first thing in the morning and spray this place from top to bottom. Mm-hmm. When we get done, there won't be a living bug of no kind left in the joint.
Well, good.
And if any new pests get in here, they're in for an awful surprise.
How soon can we get back in the house?
Well, I wouldn't come back till a few days after Thanksgiving. But if you do have to go in the house for any reason before that, whatever you do, don't light no matches. Blow you clean out of here. Now, remember, don't light no matches. See?
Don't worry. We won't, and I'll see you when we get back.
Right. So long.
Hello, Abner.
Say, Walt, I was just wondering if you're going to need some groceries for Thanksgiving.
No, we're going out of town. Going to debug the joint.
Oh, well, you'll enjoy it there. Have a nice Thanksgiving, and don't hurry back.
And they're sure enough going to be gone, huh?
Yeah, they're going to some place called the Bugler Joint.
The Bilk Junction, perhaps.
Well, something like that.
Never heard of it.
Well, it looks like I'm all set, then. We'll cook the dinner right over there in Walt's kitchen.
Yeah, and build up a nice fire in that big fireplace of his.
Yeah.
And light some candles on the dinner table.
Oh, wait till Miss Rowena sees all that. I grannies, we're put on the biggest one blowout she's ever been. Oh, me.
Don't expect no sympathy from me, Lum Edwards. If you think I'm going to help you with your Thanksgiving dinner, you got another thanker coming.
Hi, Mr. Edwards. Mr. Peabody, happy Thanksgiving.
Well, howdy, Mr. Knopf. Yes, it is a happy Thanksgiving for some people.
Say, didn't I hear something about your needing help with your Thanksgiving dinner, Mr. Edwards? Well, I'm your man.
You are? Well, bless you, Mr. Niles, and bless Frigidaire for sending you here. Now, what about the turkey? Is that quite a problem?
No problem at all for anybody with a roomy new Frigidaire refrigerator. Just prepare your turkey a day or two ahead of Thanksgiving and keep it in your Frigidaire. There's still plenty of room for other holiday fixings. A salad, hot biscuits maybe.
Well, salad the same way. Prepare it before you get busy with last-minute cooking.
Doggies, Mom. The Bates has got a nice house here, but don't it seem to you that it smells kind of cute in here?
Yeah, it does, but I think when we start the fire in the fireplace, that'll clear everything out of here.
You want me to light it now?
No, wait till Miss Rowena gets here. Yeah, she'll get a big bang out of that. Adam, you better get into your buttle suit.
Mom, I ain't going to wear that thing. Them britches is for a boy. They just come to my knees.
That's where they're supposed to come.
And them socks are women's stockings. White cotton law, just like Elizabeth wears when she dresses up.
Now, Abner, stop fussing. Ben Withers is having to wear a worse get-up than you, and you don't hear him hollering.
Why? What have you done with him?
I ain't done nothing. Wait a minute. There he comes now. He's got it on.
Is that Ben? Oh! Where they land,
eh? Don't laugh at him, eh?
Mom, I refuse to wear this costume. I am severing relations with you as of now, and that's retroactive from here on.
Ben, it's too late to back out now. Let's see, better check on the vittles. Hey, Alphonse. Oh, Alphonse.
Yeah, let's see what he's got on. Come in here, Alphonse.
Mom?
Hey, wait a minute, Lum. Is Cedric Alphonse? I thought the frigid air fella was going to be.
No, he was, but I found out he couldn't talk French.
And Cedric can, I suppose. Cedric, let's hear you say something in French.
Oh.
What does that mean in English?
Seems to lose something in the translation.
Alphonse, how are you coming with your chef work?
Oh, fine. I've learned two French words already. Oi, oi.
Yeah, but have you got your dinner cooked?
Oh, was I supposed to do that, too?
Uh-uh.
Oh, for pity's sake. Well, it's too late to cook it now. Yeah, you better just run down to Luke Spears' restaurant and buy everything ready-made. And hurry up, Alphonse, because Miss Rowena will be here before long. And Abner, get into your buttle duds.
I ain't going to do it now, Lon. I just plain flat ain't going to do it, and that is final. Lon, are the seams in my stocking straight?
Yeah, they look fine. I might pull them up a little more. Lord, and your legs look like two ropes with knots tied in.
Well, couldn't I just wear a pair of overalls, be sort of a country butler?
No, you're an English butler. Your name's Hawkins.
Abner Hawkins?
No, just Hawkins. And recollect that I'm a royalty. I'm a duke or a prince or maybe even an earl. I don't know.
Now, where did you get that idea?
Well, don't forget my name's Eddard. I go back to the King Edwards of England, I think.
I wish you'd go back there right now.
So now be sure and call me the Earl and call Miss Rowena something high class like her ladyship or something that'll show her that I'm used to hobnobbing around with the castle crowd. Uh-oh. Hawkins?
Yes, your earlship.
I do believe our guest has a rope.
I'll get up and let her in.
That's your job.
I'll flip you to see who does it.
Now, listen, Elvin. I'm a man of few words. When I crook my finger at you, that means come here.
Well, I'm a man of few words, too. When I shake my head, that means I ain't coming.
Abner, for goodness sake, get that door.
Oh, all right. I'm getting it. Oh, good evening, your high-class ladyship. Won't you hip-hip into the parlor, old bean?
I beg your pardon?
Tally-ho and Piccadilly.
Hawkins, just show the lady in and let it go at that, please.
Yeah, follow me, Duchess. Hey, Earl, look who's here.
Oh, Miss Rowena.
Mr. Edwards.
Ah, prattle.
but you do have a lovely place here, but lovely.
Oh, it's all right to knock around in. Keeps me off the street.
Hawkins, I wonder if you'd mind doing something with my purse.
Hello, I don't know what to do with them. Little sheep dip wouldn't hurt them.
Hawkins, just take the lady's fur mackinaw and hang it up in the vestibule.
Yeah, I reckon that's the best thing to do, get it out of sight.
Being tally-ho and blimey. You know, Mr. Edwards, your man has a rather peculiar accent.
Yes, it is peculiar.
What part of England is he from?
Oh, you know, here and there.
Is he an Essex man?
No, the only thing he's ever driven is a Saxon.
Mr. Edwards, what a lovely old fireplace you have. Might we have a fire in it?
Oh, but indeedy.
A little fire always livens up a holiday, don't you think?
Oh, indubious. Hawkins.
Did you buzz your earlship?
Yes. Hawkins, will you please touch a match to the logs?
It would be a pleasure indeed, sir.
Thank you, Hawkins.
Not at all, your earlship. Got a match on you, Duchess?
Beg your pardon, I...
Hawkins, find some matches yourself and hurry up.
While you're preparing the fire, I think I'll powder my nose. Do you have an upstairs maid?
Oh, but natural. Oh, Bernice.
Wait.
Hawkins, will you please desist from that gruff horn? And Bernice, will you fetch Miss Rowena a powder puff?
Right. Never mind. I'll use my own. Oh, is it all right if I smoke?
Yeah, sure. Go right ahead.
Do you happen to have a cigarette lighter?
Yeah, Hawkins, have you found them matches yet?
I forgot about that. Well, here I think I have a match.
That's fine, Bernice.
I'm sure I must have one in my pants pocket.
Bernice.
What? Oh, my stars, what's the matter with it?
Bernice, you better run out in the kitchen and help Alphonse dish up the victuals. I told him to garnish the plates with a stalk of celery. Now, see that he does it.
Well, hey, I found the matches. You want to fire up, Duchess?
Why, yes, thank you.
Hey, dinner served. Oi, oi, come and get it.
Never mind, Hawkins. I'll have the cigarette later.
Yeah, all right, sure. Let's get in there. The grub's on.
Miss Rowena, would you care to walk into the dining room on my arm?
Oh.
I don't believe she can do it.
I do hope you've worked up a good appetite, Miss Rowena, because Alphonse has knocked himself out cooking up a batch of high-class French victuals.
I hope he has some canapés.
Yeah, I got a can of peas, a can of... can of hominy grit.
Hawkins, shut up.
Miss
Rowena, you sit over there, and I'll sit here.
Thank you.
Hey, wait a minute here. You ain't set a place for me and Bernice.
Of course not. You're the servant, you idiot.
Well, I'll be a polka-dotted possum. I dog as if that ain't gratitude for you.
Hawkins, just mind your own business. I'm sorry, Miss Rowena. This servant problem of mine is getting worse all the time.
Yes, I can see that.
Well, let's dive in, Miss Rowena. Oh, Hawkins, come back here and light the candles. It's getting dark in here.
Yeah, all right. Don't know where I've got strength enough to strike a match, though, as hungry as I am.
Mr. Edwards, I hate to bring this up, but my food seems to be all stuck to the plate.
That's curious. So is mine. That's them French cooks for you. Oh, Alphonse.
And if you'll pardon my saying so, it all smells like shellac.
Did you call me, Monsieur?
No, because I can't get these matches to start.
Yeah, I called you, Alphonse. Our victuals are stuck to the plate. And where's the celery salt I told you to garnish the plates with?
Garnish?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh.
I thought you said varnish.
Well, this is dreadful, but positively dreadful.
Now, Miss Rowena, don't leave.
Oh, must be one match in here to light.
Miss Rowena, please don't leave. I can explain this whole mess, and I may as well tell you the truth.
Yes?
You're going to hate me, but this ain't my house, and these ain't my servants. I ain't nothing at all, and I know you'll never speak to me again as long as you live, and I don't blame you.
Why, you dear, sweet boy. Going to all that trouble just for little old me. Oh, I think you're wonderful, but wonderful.
Huh?
Bad brand these matches.
And to prove it, I am going to give you a great big kiss.
Oh, no, now, please.
Yes, yes, I'm going
Miss Rowena,
to
don't.
Yes.
I know, but here's one at like.
Oh, Miss Rowena. Miss Granny's Miss Rowan. Do that again.
Lyman Abner will be back in just a moment, but first, here is an important question. When you're preparing Thanksgiving dinner, or any dinner, wouldn't you like to avoid last-minute rush by fixing some things ahead of time? It's extra easy with a Frigidaire home freezer. Stuff a turkey days ahead and keep it frozen. Store several pies, baked or unbaked. Freeze a supply of dough for hot bread. Everything safe in a Frigidaire home freezer. It's powered by the Meter Miser.
Well, how you feeling by now, hot lip?
Yeah, a little better, but Granny's Abner, when Walt Bates gets back and sees his house, he's going to hit the ceiling.
Hit the ceiling? He'll have to find it first.
I hope you enjoyed the comedy of Lum and Abner. You just heard Rowena Has Thanksgiving with Lum, which was first heard on Sunday, November 21st, 1948 on CBS. We're almost out of time, but I'll pass along my contact information. My email is Corey, C-Y-E-Y, at CFISFM.com, and my mailing address is Old Parlor Radio, 2080 15th Avenue, Prince George, B.C., Canada, Victory 2 Mike, 1 Tango 1. From the CFAS Studios in Prince George, I'm Corey Walker. Happy Thanksgiving.